Hello, and welcome to the show, where we ask Rita Harrison, the foremost authority on the Willow System, questions from listeners about health, healing, and happiness. My name is Annie Alvarez. Here's a question that was sent in by another mother. Why do we women keep on blaming mothers so blindly?
I like that question.
I do too.
Because, why do you like the question? Let me ask you first.
Probably differently from you because I'm a woman, but I'm not a mother. You're a woman and you're a mother, so...
Maybe I should then say something first because I'm the mother. You know, I noticed in my own life and also with my clients a lot, and I have a lot of female students who want to learn to be more aware of things and not just keep on repeating patterns over and over again. And I think what I want to share here is the fact that it happens a lot that when something happens, like a student kills other students in the school, you know, in those schools in America, it happens quite a lot.
Yes.
Yeah. So when we talk, actually what I hear very often in our conversations is that everybody points or the finger on the mother immediately. Or when there is a messed up family situation and there is a drug addict in the family, you know, that it happens a lot. What kind of education did the mother do? She might not have been there for him and stuff. And I must really admit, and I don't mean that, oh, poor me, I don't mean it in a self-pity way. I hope it doesn't come out like this here. That when I had difficulties with my son, and I was talking about that in the other podcast, that my son is a psychopath. Yeah, and there are certain degrees of psychopath, and I think he's not the worst psychopath in the world, I know that, but he is one, and I can't deny that. So everybody was pointing, or most people, let me put it like this, was pointing the finger on me. I felt in a very weird spot here. So what I understand with myself and the women who come to the sessions is when you become a mother yourself, I think you get the chance to heal something deep inside you on a very deep level, where you understand that you never know. There's always something, you know, you can only have good intentions, but your good intentions might not prevent bad things to happen.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
So you want to be the best that you can be, but even though you are maybe, or you are not, because you're just a human being and you make mistakes, and those mistakes might even be a blessing at the end, because then the child learns that there are things happening in our life in a certain way that don't turn out very well, and we can learn from them, or we can use them as a growing process, or as a learning lesson that takes us to another level that we have never experienced before without, or would have never experienced before without having had that experience. Yeah, and that makes it all a little bit more relative. We become then less judgmental, we soften deep inside us, and we become more compassionate and empathetic with our own parents who try to do their best and sometimes miserably failed. But because they failed, I might have developed certain skills, you know, and we become more empathetic also, you know, me as a woman with my own mother. And I see her then in a different light. And I experience a lot that people who don't have children dare.
Yes, I'm listening. I'm all ears.
Dare to tell you exactly what you should do. And they think they know how to raise children. And I remember when I was 25, I got my child. But before that, I had the same belief system inside me. I was so sure. I have it all in my hands. And I know exactly what to do. And when I'm mother, I will do this and this and that. And you know what? You have no idea, because nothing is like you think it is when you really have a child. All the hormones, you know, all the stuff that goes on deep inside you because there's a child there, and how you change deep inside yourself. And nothing is how you thought it would be. And a lot of people told me then, oh, I know, nevertheless, because I raised my I was the oldest in the family, and I raised my other siblings. It's not the same. And they consider it at this as the same. And I see you laughing here out loud. You know, it's not the same. So we as women still dare, you know, to give comments about mothers. And always, it's always the mom, it's always the mom. And I think that we had a time where we didn't take responsibility enough as mothers and fathers for the well-being for our children in a way that we do it now, in a sense that we thought we have to be too strict. Mm-hmm. But it was a different time. And, you know, we have to give them fixed rules no matter what. We don't let them be a part of their own developing process and stuff. You know, it was a totally different world. And then we went into the opposite, where we were too loose, no rules at all. Mm-hmm. And I think this all shows how we don't know. Mm-hmm. You know what it means to be a parent. Mm-hmm. And we are trying our best, you know. And now, I think nowadays, it's always the moms. It's a lot of the moms. And when you are trained in family dynamics, you see that there's also a lot with the fathers. And you bring in the father. What about the dad? What happened there? You know, and the absence of the fathers. And I think this is something that is still not very well established in our society, because our society is still very patriarchic. Mm-hmm. In all those centuries, we were raised in a very patriarchic world. And the feminine, and I don't just say women, because I think it's more than that. The feminine is still not valued enough, is still disregarded or discarded, dismissed, and mm-hmm. judged in a certain way. Mm-hmm. And I think now we're in a time where there weighs a lot of pressure on the feminine, on the female energy, how it is not represented and represents itself more and more in our society. And a lot of women, especially the mothers, feel that, because they are now supposed to be liberated and supposed to be independent and equal, and they're not. They are like differently enslaved now. And excuse me, I'm not diplomatic, and I never was. And people who listen don't have to agree with that. I want to say it out loud, deep from my heart, that I feel women, especially mothers, are still enslaved, because they now have to be the perfect mother who drives the child to the school, who has the perfect car, the perfect kitchen stuff, the perfect operations and Botox injections, the perfect this and this and that. And this is all sold as independent, and it is not. Mm-hmm. So another, this is how you should be. And we don't care what you feel and what's really going on. And when something goes wrong with the society, put even more pressure on those moms. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I don't say that moms are not responsible for raising their children. They are. But now we have the opposite. It's like, you know, when a pendulum goes into one direction, mm-hmm. Too extreme, mm-hmm. it goes into the other direction, then too extreme, where it's all about the mothers and what they do wrong. They have to now sit and watch the homework. Yeah, really? You know, they have to now be responsible for how the child says, excuse me. They excuse the child when they do something wrong. You know, and don't give the children actually the chance to excuse them. And I think it's a very interesting time for mothers, because I think the key is that we wake up. That we wake up collectively as women, and also as the feminine in men. Mm-hmm. And that we don't allow that anymore to happen. That we also don't just repeat what we have heard. Mm-hmm. So when we just repeat, there was a shooting in a school. Look, what did the mother wrong, really? Mm-hmm. You know, that we stop in the tracks and we try to look at it from a more holistic perspective, mm-hmm. from a more systemic perspective. Mm-hmm. We look at the male, you know, and very often the male energy, and I don't say men, mm-hmm. the male mm-hmm. upbringing, where it has to be linear, where it has to be a certain way, and the feminine way of doing things just intuitively. And without being logical, just from a gut feeling, from an instinct, was just ridiculed. And this is the price that we have to pay now, because the feminine was ridiculed and it was not valued. And when we still keep on doing that, we won't win. It needs to be balanced out and be integrated and healed again. Mm-hmm. So a mom has an instinct, yeah. Mm-hmm. Take away the pressure from those women that they have to be the father, the mother, the grandmother, the playing partner,
the breadwinner.
They have to be the cook, the cleaning lady, all at one time. How ridiculous is that? And how disconnected and how actually really dishonorable. I don't know the English word.
Dishonored, that woman
thank
is.
You, thank mm-hmm. you. It's a dishonor, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's undignifying. Mm-hmm. It's disgraceful. Mm-hmm. And this can't work. And as long as women think, and mothers is for sure, mm-hmm. not just mothers, also the women who don't have children, think they have to be all that, yeah, mm-hmm. for a partner, for their children. As long as we participate as women, we keep that alive, that this is the right way to do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a new kind of enslavery. No, we have to learn how to say no to that. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I agree. And I think that myself, as a woman who doesn't have children, who was raised in this society, so this is what I can comment on. I myself, as a woman, am quick to take the blame, and I'm quick to blame other women. And that's why it's interesting. It's blind. It's just an instinct. It's just a reaction before thinking. And after all, how can I set a good example if I don't think first? For younger girls who are going to grow up to be women, why am I? Yes, I agree that I myself am at times quick to blame other women and think they should have done this or they should have done that. I guess from now on, I will look at what women do and think, well, why did she do that? Instead of why didn't she? Why did she make this decision? She must have a good reason.
And also, you know, it might be that it's acting out as if it was her fault because she's the most vulnerable one.
Yes.
But actually other areas were contributing
Always.
To that problem. Like maybe... and I don't want to make too much of a cliche out of it, but I want to make something clear. Maybe the father didn't do his part. Maybe, you know, the son did not take the same responsibility like a daughter did, you mm-hmm. know, because he got away with stuff more easily. I still think that men get away with things more easily.
Absolutely.
When you look at our stars and stuff, you know, the artists out there, when a man is good, he's allowed to be good. Mm-hmm. And he's then praised and put on a pedestal by all the women. We tend to do that and we admire him. And when a woman is good, as a good artist, we find all kinds of faults, why she is not as good as she thinks she is. Yeah. Or when a man has a lot of affairs or has a lot of women, you know, oh, look, he's very potent.
Or
and
she
she's
didn't
a whore.
Keep him happy.
Yeah.
Yes.
And she's a whore when she has that, mm-hmm. you know. And it's proven, and it is actually medically proven, and it is a fact that we know from the ancient teachings that women always had more sexual power than men, mm-hmm. yeah, and that in a matriarchic system, women had several partners, and they had some partners that produced then the children, mm-hmm. and they had partners that were just there for other things, you know. And this is totally in our patriarchic system, which exists now for thousands and thousands of years, is now totally messed up, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think we have to remember that the feminine power is strong and is there for a reason, but not to be ridiculed and to be mm-hmm. reduced. I think when we allow this feminine power to be there for what it is, it can give birth, it can nurture, mm-hmm. but it doesn't have to be limited mm-hmm. and reduced to something that seems to be more controllable. Mm-hmm. You know, and what I've researched, and that might be something that some people might agree with or not, is that the feminine power, because it was so strong, was always feared, even by the women, mm-hmm. because we can give birth, we can nurture, we have this sexual power. Mm-hmm. We even have more orgasms at one time and one after the other. Men can't do that.
No.
So it was feared by the women who were not in tune with that, or is still, mm-hmm. and also by the men who were fearing that because they couldn't. And instead of using it for something good, it was limited and tried to be controlled by the patriarchic systems that we have agreed to mm-hmm. in the last thousands of years. And this doesn't work out. What it brought up us to more destruction, to more duality, you know, mm-hmm. where things don't come together in an integrative way, less sharing, yeah, less oneness, less solutions that contribute to the greater good of the community. It's either you or me, either I win and you lose, or I can't live, and all those kind of things. And I think right now we're facing that again, where the circle comes more to a completion again, mm-hmm. and where we are invited to look at the feminine as something that's not to be feared, that's something that needs to be used in an appropriate way and not limited and try to be controlled by the male. And I don't mean men again. Mm-hmm. I mean us, mm-hmm. the male power that we have. Yeah,
I agree with you. I do feel like we are having a chance to come and look at this again, whereas in years before, it would have been considered, she's overreacting, she's too emotional.
Yes, not realistic.
People who were fearful of it probably saw it as a threat or an uprising.
Yes.
Whereas now, I feel like we are taking a turn towards a more understanding viewpoint towards women, that, like you said, where we can look and invite this to take place, and it's not being ridiculed as
hope so, because what I actually see still is that the women are still treated like either they are whores or saints,
mm-hmm.
and they have to fit into those boxes. You know, there's a lot of stuff out there where this is still the case,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and I hope that we understand how we're repeating that pattern. It's mm-hmm. either Eve or Mother Mary or
Lilith.
Or, you know, all those destructive forces that are actually present in all those different kinds of religions, yeah, where we didn't understand that the force that gives birth is also the force that destroys, and that doesn't mean that, which is a very feminine force, mm-hmm. that doesn't mean that this is evil. Yeah, mm-hmm. Destruction and rebirth has always been a part of the universe. It's a universal law.
Mm-hmm.
This is, you can see it in the physics, mm-hmm. in astrophysics, everywhere, how the universe creates and destroys. And we, in our human limited brain, we attach to it an evil or good.
Mm-hmm.
And it is neither nor.
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is. And I think the inborn feminine wants to be lived out loud. And that means that we express the feminine creativity in many ways again. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That instinct is as good as logic. That science is as good as spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
That, if I can say that at all,
yeah.
like this,
mm-hmm.
you know. And that it can all be there and come together, because what's feminine is sharing.
Mm-hmm.
What's feminine is integrative and not, you know, excluding. And I can imagine that this is now the time where we remember and take it to the next level. The show was produced by Paulie Harrison. And if you have any questions, please send them to info@willowforyou.com. That's info, I-N-F-O, at willow, W-I-L-L-O-W, the number 4, the letter U.com. Thank you for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time when we talk about health, healing, and happiness.